I want to go back to the lesson from Exodus this morning, Exodus chapter 3, and I want you to hear these words. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." My brothers and sisters in Christ, what does it take to get through to you? What does it take to break through the crusty exterior that we sometimes build up around ourselves? What does it take to get through to us when we're going about our daily duties, our daily events, our daily chores? From day to day, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, we go about our daily activities, never seeing around us the presence of Jesus, or rarely comprehending that God is with us wherever we may be. And sometimes we look and we think we only see the things of this world, or the things of what we think of as reality, and we do not see any deeper than the surface. That was Moses' problem. Moses was used to being out pasturing his flocks. He was used to seeing, I would imagine, scrub brush blazing on a volcanic mountainside. He was used to seeing bushes burning and used to seeing smoke in the air from the burning bushes that would periodically dot the landscape. It was a natural event. It was a common, mundane, everyday event. It was something that you would see and would not be surprised to see normally. And most of us would just see the bush burning and just go on about our business. Most of us, from day to day, we see the normal things, the ordinary things of this life, and we go on about our business, not stopping to notice what's underneath the surface. But this time, Moses noticed. Moses saw the burning bush, and I imagine he did a double take, you know. Oh, and wow. He noticed something special about that bush. He noticed that while it was burning, like many other bushes that he'd probably seen burning in the past, this bush in particular was different. Because while it was blazing, it was not being consumed, it was not being burned up. This burning bush, in other words, was different from all the other ordinary burning bushes that he had seen throughout his life. There was something out of the ordinary. There was something extraordinary about this burning bush. And it was for that reason. It wasn't the fact that the bush was burning that got his curiosity. What got his curiosity was the fact that this burning bush wasn't being burned up, wasn't being consumed, that caught his curiosity. And so he looked at it and he said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." He was curious, why isn't it being burned up? And so, this extraordinary event, this extraordinary aspect of a very ordinary thing, a burning bush, caught his attention long enough for him to hear the voice of God. What does it take, my friends, to get through the crusty exterior that we build around ourselves? What does it take for God to get through to us? I know there are times when I go about my life with blinders on. I see only what I want to see, what I'm looking to see, what I am ready to see. Nothing to my right, nothing to my left. Nothing ever bothers me. I go along just fine, thinking that I'm seeing everything, when in reality I'm missing so much. If I only turn and look. So often I go through my life seeing the ordinary things, seeing the people, seeing the things, seeing the events of my life, and I do not see beyond the surface and to the depths of those events. And I suspect the same may be true of us. This passage from Exodus, I must have preached on it 7 or 8 times the last 8 or 9 years. It's a wonderful, wonderful passage. But usually I focus on the passage later on when Moses is talking with God. I don't normally notice this very beginning portion where it says that in the ordinary burning bush, the extraordinary fact of its not being consumed caught Moses' eye. And that's a hint, a little bit of a hint, of the way in which God often communicates with us on a daily basis. And indeed, it's an illustration of how God has communicated with people throughout the centuries in the Scriptures themselves. Just think with me for a few minutes about some examples. Let's start with the obvious one. A carpenter, a little older, and his betrothed. They're on their way to their hometown to be counted in the census and taxed. And they get there, and there's no room in the Motel 6, so they have to stay in the garage out behind the motel. And a little baby's born. A little ordinary little baby. Like all little babies. And yet, in this ordinary event, of a man and a woman on a journey with no place to stay, and so they're staying in the inn's garage, if you will. In this wonderful, ordinary story, we have the extraordinary encounter with the Son of God, with the Creator of this universe. Sarah. Sarah was just an ordinary woman. I don't think we have anybody here who's 90. Vanda, you're starting to get close. But even with Vanda, it would be an utter miracle if she were to conceive. And yet, a child, you've conceived children in the past, I mean now, today. It would be an utter miracle, just on the order of magnitude of a miracle of Sarah conceiving Isaac. An ordinary woman who laughed when she was told, "You're going to have a son." An ordinary woman who thought it was a crazy idea that she herself would have a kid. An ordinary woman God moved into and conceived within her, with Abram's help, of course, a boy, a son. A miracle, a child of promise. Other examples, Noah. Noah, now I don't know very many 600-year-old men. However, Noah is a wonderful example. Here's an old guy. He'd been living, breathing, working, and knowing God. And God chooses him to do a great work. Even though he's old, God chooses him to do a great work. David, a shepherd boy. Nothing special about him. An ordinary shepherd boy. Just the kid, not even important enough to have him line up so that Samuel could go through and find the future king of Israel. Just a shepherd boy, ordinary. And yet God used him extraordinarily to establish the kingdom of David and the line from which Jesus would come. In the ordinary things of life, we see the extraordinary presence of God. Look at your neighbors, all those around you. You may think to yourself, it's just Gary. Good reader, good friend, good breakfast partner on Thursdays, good golfer, just Gary. But extraordinarily, Gary's the presence of Jesus to me. You know, it's just Claude. It's just Banda. It's just Sandy. It's just Edie. And yet, extraordinarily, each is the presence of Jesus to me. It's just bread, it's just wine, it's just water. But each are means of God's grace for us. They're just hymns, they're just prayers, it's just a building, it's just a community. But each is a way and a means of coming into God's presence. In the ordinary things of life, in the ordinary people that we meet, in the ordinary things that we do from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, in these ordinary things, it is easy to miss the extraordinary, the unusual, the uncommon, if you will. And yet it's there. If we'll open our eyes, if we'll look with eyes of faith, we will see the extraordinary. Just as Moses looked and he saw that the bush was not being consumed by the fire, so also if we look with eyes of faith, we will see that it's not just our fellow Christian. It's not just bread and wine. It's not just a community. It's not just a hymn or a prayer. It's the very presence of Jesus to us. What happened in that encounter with Moses in the wilderness there? He comes up to this bush that he sees was burning but not being burned. And as he comes into the presence of the bush, God says to him, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." In that moment, when Moses realized that this extraordinary event, this burning bush that did not burn, when he realized that this was truly an encounter with the divine, Moses heard these words and knew that he was in the presence of God. And so he took off his shoes, because he was standing on holy ground. Now, Mother said, "If you're going to do that, make sure you don't have holy socks." So I bought new socks for the occasion. Yes, always listen to Mother. Holy ground. The ground upon which you are standing, Moses, it's holy ground. Don't treat this as an ordinary experience, because it's not. Don't treat this as if it's just any other burning bush that you're going to go up and roast marshmallows at or cook weenies. It's not. It's a special experience. It's an extraordinary experience. The presence of God. Does it take an extraordinary experience to get through to you today? Or do you realize right here and right now that this is an extraordinary experience on the scale of the burning bush? And that we today are standing or are seated on holy ground. Indeed, wherever we are is holy ground. New carpet feels good. You know, I love this story about Moses because it puts flesh and blood on the man. We're so used to think about the holy Moses who wrote, you know, the first five books of the Bible, the very special man, the lawgiver, the man who went up on the mountain and got the laws from God and brought them down. The man who was the instrument of God for releasing the captive Israelites. And yet in this story, we see a very human Moses. A Moses who was afraid. A Moses who was willing to look and see the extraordinary in the ordinary. A Moses who took off his shoes, his sandals, because he was standing on holy ground. And a Moses just like you and me, who when he was told what God wanted him to do, complained. "I can't do that. I stutter. I can't do that. I'm just a simple person. I can't make Pharaoh let go of the Israelites. I can't go back there. There's a death sentence on me." I mean, he was finding very good reasons for not going, and God kept on encountering and countering each reason. In the moment of the extraordinary encounter with God, it is so very easy to forget that you're standing on holy ground. It's so very easy to let the blinders come back on and to miss the extraordinary in the call. And yet we too have that call. Moses is told very simply, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on a count of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. No, not too many people come to church to find out what happened to the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. Took, what, 400 years, Ted? Is that right?
That's right. Didn't hear a word.
Didn't hear a word. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And then Moses said, but... Oh, we're good at that, aren't we? God gives us a calling. God gives us a task to do. God has broken through our exterior. We have recognized the extraordinary in our lives. We have said, thank you, God. This is wonderful. I am standing on holy ground. And then God says, and I want you to go do something. And we go, I can't do that. I can't work in a homeless shelter. I can't preach the gospel. I can't read scripture on Sundays. I can't serve in that committee. I can't go to Sunday school. I can't teach Sunday school. I stutter. We can find good excuses. Or are they good? Like Moses, we can say, no, not me. But God won't let us go, because just like with Moses, God countered each excuse with an answer. He said, who am I to say sent me? I love this answer. I always get a kick out of it. God said to Moses, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, or I am that I am, depending on which translation you're using. I am that I am always makes me think of Popeye. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Very simply, the God who is and who cannot not be. The God who is and by his very nature exists and who cannot not exist. The God who is, the God who is and wants to be known and will be known, sends you. Well, it would have been a whole lot easier if God had said, you know, Fred sends you. Tell him that God David sends you, or God Gary. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier if God had given him a simple name that he could use with the Israelites. But no, he had to use this weird philosophical, tell him that I am sent you. Now, give Moses credit. He did. He complained, but he obeyed. And we have the same calling. When we get on holy ground, when we recognize our calling, it is so very easy to want to go, not me. And to miss the extraordinary in the ordinary. That's what happened to Peter in our gospel lesson today. Standing in the presence of Jesus, having just proclaimed that you are the Son of God, he then turns around, and when Jesus says, I got to go be killed, he goes, far be it from you, Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Right after having said you're the Son of God, he then, of course, sticks left foot in mouth, just like you and me, and denies the very identity he proclaimed for Jesus. Just like Peter, we very often will get on holy ground and then we'll say no, or we'll try to say no. And when we try to say no, God says to us, get behind me, Satan. Because between us and him, Satan has interposed himself. And we have allowed Satan to take that holy ground out from underneath us. In those moments when you feel as though you're saying no to God and God's calling you, in those moments when you are saying to God, no, in those moments, say what Jesus said. Say, get behind me, Satan. Get out of my life and allow me to walk on holy ground. Get out of my way, Satan, so that I may walk with God on holy ground. Today we celebrate in simple, common, everyday words in the wonderful song that we heard. Those wonderful words, thanks for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was saved. In those very simple words, we hear proclaimed to us an extraordinary word of God. The extraordinary proclamation that Jesus is here, that we are on holy ground, and that He has a calling on our lives. Like Moses, let's recognize the extraordinary in the ordinary and reside on holy ground and do, even if we complain, do what God calls us to do. That's the good news today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm what we believe through the historic confession of the Apostles' Creed, which we will find in the back of your hymnals. Number 881, let us stand.